Now, of course, for many of us, a big part of Christmas is presents. As children, I guess we're keen to receive presents. As adults, finding suitable ones is often more of a pressing concern. There were three wealthy sons who always found it difficult to work out what to give their elderly mother for Christmas. One year, the first gave her a new house. The second gave her a new car. But when asked, the third said, "You know how mother likes reading the Bible, but she can't see very well? Well, I found her a parrot that recites Bible passages. He's been amazingly trained." Well, after Christmas, the old lady wrote her thank you letters. To the first son, she wrote, "Thank you so much for the house. Sadly, it's rather too large. I much prefer my small flat." To the second, she wrote, "Thank you so much for the car. Sadly, my failing eyesight means I can no longer drive." But to the third, she wrote as follows, "Dear Donald, you have the good sense to know exactly what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." Well, that tradition of giving and receiving presents at Christmas is surely partly due to the part of the Christmas story that Jill read for us from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. There we find those enigmatic wise men from the East who, on discovering the infant Jesus, opened their treasures and offered to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, these mystical characters, magi or wise men as Matthew calls them, were learned scholars, along with many in what was probably their home area that we now call Iran and Iraq. They were fascinated by the night sky and what they could learn, or felt they could learn, from it for the future. Now, astronomical calculations have shown that unusual conjunctions of the planets Jupiter, Saturn and Mars, which together would have given a very bright effect, were taking place around about the time historians believe Jesus was born. It's also thought that there was a tradition in the East that Saturn was associated with the Jewish people and that Jupiter was the royal planet. Well, whatever the exact background, these men made their way from Arabia to Jerusalem and said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, when the wise men find Jesus, they bring their gifts, all the gifts fitting for a person of great honour and significance. Now, well, you may have heard of the group of young children who were taking part in a nativity play for their parents. The first three came in. One played the part of Mary, another Joseph, whilst the third was an angel. Then the last child came in, pretending to ride a camel. She was wearing all the jewellery that she could find, and she carried a cushion laden with certain items. She bowed before Mary and Joseph and announced, "I am all three wise men. I bring precious gifts, gold, circumstance, and mud." Well, children can get confused, can't they, about the presents that the wise men brought. And though to many of us the story is very familiar, we too can be less than clear about the one the wise men honoured with their presence. And yet it seems that as God was overruling in this incident, the gifts themselves can point us to what is most important about Jesus. And of course, the first gift was gold. Now, gold has been a highly sought after precious metal for coinage and jewelry and arts ever since the beginning of recorded history. But most significantly for us here, gold is a gift supremely fit for a king. Now, those Eastern travellers may not have fully understood who it was that they were looking for, but their expectation was to find a new ruler. So they ask, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" Now, those who heard this question were expecting a king. They were looking for a Christ, a Messiah, who had been foretold as one who would come from God to reign over his people and to set them free. In our readings, Andrew and Terry and Lynn read to us some of the promises that, about the Messiah that the Old Testament prophets were given from God hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Now, indeed, when Herod asks the religious experts to give him the lowdown on the Messiah king, they tell him what Micah the prophet had foretold some 700 years before. You'll remember, we had it both from Micah and in the Matthew reading. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. So here the gift of gold points us to the reality that this baby is a king who is God's special ruler, the one who brings in God's loving shepherd-like rule in a new way. He is the king from God who deserves the allegiance and commitment of people that God has made. Now this means that this king is not just for people brought up with the expectation of such a king, like the locals in Jerusalem and the region, but Jesus is in fact the king for all people. In a very posh suburb just outside London, there was a nativity scene that showed great skill and talent had gone into making it. A man from Hull was visiting relatives and was rather confused by an odd feature in the scene. The wise men were wearing firemen's helmets. Now, totally unable to come up with a reason or explanation, the man asked a shopkeeper in the village boutique about the helmets. Well, she got rather cross, and identifying the visitor's accent, she said, "You ignorant northerners, you never read the Bible." Well, the whole man said that he actually did read the Bible, but simply couldn't recall anything about firemen in the Gospels. Well, the boutique owner jerked her Bible from beneath the counter, ruffled through some pages, and finally jabbed her finger at a passage. "See, it says right here, the wise men came from afar." Well, to be precise, Matthew tells us that these wise men didn't just come from afar, they came from the east. And that is very significant. They came from beyond Israel. These men clearly were not the sort who the people of Judea expected to have any interest or any benefit from the coming of this long-awaited Messiah king. But we see here, from the beginnings of Jesus' life on earth, that it is God's plan that Jesus is for all sorts of peoples. Whatever the background, whatever the racial origin, whatever the religious connections. And that is a great encouragement to you and to me, because it means that he is a king who is born for us. So the wise men brought gold, a gift fit for a king. Jesus is the Messiah for all peoples. Now, in another nativity play, at the designated time, the three children dressed as wise men came to Mary and Joseph at the manger. The first said, "Here, this is gold." The second got a little confused by his big moment and he shouted out, "And Frank sent this." Well, frankincense, as of course the child should have said, was the second gift given to Jesus. And it's a sweet-smelling tree resin. And as a costly substance, it is again a gift fit for a king. But it points further. The people of Jerusalem were familiar with this substance because it was used in the temple. It was burnt to accompany their prayers as an offering to God. The new king, Jesus, is honored by the wise men in a way that is fitting for one who is not just a human being of great significance, but also as God. And do you remember the way that the wise men responded to Jesus once eventually they'd found him? Going into the house, we read, they saw the child and his Mary and mother, his Mary, Mary his mother, and they sat down and they worshipped him. Now, literally, that is, they prostrated themselves before the one they recognized as king. An action that the locals of the day would have recognized was fitting only for God himself. Now, all this fits with what Matthew has already told us in his gospel. As Helen read for us from chapter 1, Jesus' birth fulfills yet another Old Testament prophecy, that he would be known not only as Jesus, but also as Emmanuel, a name with a meaning, which is God is with us. So this king is both fully human and fully divine. As we sang a few moments ago in the bleak midwinter, "Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. You know, the last few years have seen the rise of a very public, rather strident atheism in this country. What is often not recognised is that this naturalism, to give it its proper name, is a faith just as much as the formal religion that it so disparages. But also, many of the philosophical discussions that these new atheists are involved in, the truth of Christmas is seldom engaged with. You see, Jesus is God with us. We're not left to grope around trying to work out whether God is real or not. In time and space, God has come into our world to show himself. Now, this means that Jesus, the King, is not only worthy of our allegiance as King and God, but he is proof that God is interested in us, despite the human race as turning away from him. That God, the eternal Son, should take flesh and bones and become the Son of God on earth, leaving the glories of heaven to share this broken world with us, is the most remarkable, amazing reality. And it's one that guarantees once and for all that God has not given up on us. Now, I wonder what the year 2009 has been like for you. Well, this gift of frankincense points us to the truth that the Bible makes clear that Jesus is God with us. So he knows just what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be you or me. The joys of life he shares with us. The sadness, the stresses, and the pain of life. Well, he shares those too, because he has been this way before us. Well, the final gift of the wise men is, of course, myrrh, not mud. Like frankincense, this is also a dried tree sap or resin, and it was used, amongst other things, as a perfume. And like the other gifts, it is a valuable substance, therefore something fit for a king. But it is also interesting that according to John's Gospel, myrrh is one of the spices that was used to prepare Jesus' body for burial after his death on the cross. So here is a reminder that the baby born in Bethlehem is also the one who was crucified just outside Jerusalem some 30-odd years later. Indeed, it is only as we see his birth connected to his death that we can really understand how this baby fulfilled his role as the divine Messiah King. Just before the account of the wise men, Matthew tells us that Joseph, who of course was to bring him up as his father, is told by the angel that he is to call the boy Jesus, which means God saves. And he's to do that, the angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. Through his death, this baby, when grown up, would be the rescuer from sins. Now, I don't know whether you agree with me, but sin is a word that we avoid in modern culture. It's rather too rude and pointed. But what does it mean? Well, before us this evening, in that reading we have had, we have an illustration. Herod, the one used to being king, when he hears about the one to be born king, is affronted. On the surface, you remember, he asks the wise men to find the baby so that he might go and worship him too. But if you know the story, actually, that's far from the truth. His intent was very different. He wanted to remove this new king. And he tried to do that by arranging for all the possible candidates, the Hebrew boys under two, to be done away with. Now, Herod didn't really want Jesus as king. He wanted to be king himself instead. And that is what all of us are like when we're honest with ourselves. We prefer to have ourselves run our lives, and so we ignore or sideline the one who deserves to be our king, Jesus, God himself, who came into the world. And that attitude is what the Bible calls sin, and it works out in many different sorts of sins. Yet Jesus, who was given myrrh when he was an infant, went on to die to save his people from their sins. And as Matthew records Jesus himself saying later, he came to give his life as a ransom for many. His death paid the price of sin. Through his death, God's love and justice were satisfied. Jesus died in place of guilty rebels against God, so that when we turn back to him, when we give ourselves to him, we can be forgiven. We can be brought into a relationship with God that fills life with purpose and meaning and brings with it the promise of eternal life. So can I ask us this Christmas time, do you know that relationship with God through Jesus? Well, if you do, by God's grace, you have much to offer others through serving in God's strength and through partnership with God and through prayer to him. But if you don't know that you have that relationship with God through Jesus, what is stopping you asking for it and giving yourself back to the one who is truly King this Christmas time? Well, in a moment we're going to have a prayer which in a way gives an opportunity to do that. But maybe you feel you have many questions, and that's good. It's interesting that the wise men came asking questions. They were in many ways the intellectuals of their day, experts in what was then known about philosophy and medicine and the natural sciences. But they realized that they needed to know more than they already knew. And so they set us a good example of having open minds to the truth, of examining the evidence. It's interesting too that the answers that these wise men received, those things which helped them to see who this king really was, were from the Bible. Well, here at All Saints Church, we're very keen to provide opportunities to follow that same pattern. And a good way to do that is to come to our Christianity Explored sessions. You should see one of the flyers somewhere near you in the pews. Now, many have been to these in Ferriby in recent years. And the idea is to come and look at the eyewitness testimony about Jesus as we have it in Mark's Gospel, without being put on the spot or embarrassed in any way. And the promise is you can ask any question that you like. Well, a six-year-old called Beth was asked what she was going to give her brother for Christmas. "I don't know," she answered. So the adult speaking to her tried to coax it out from her. "Well, what did you give him last year?" She replied, "Chicken pox." Well, Christmas is often seen to be about presents. Well, the presents that Jesus received after that first Christmas show us what we really need to know about him. Gold, reminding us of his kingship and his right to rule us. Frankincense, pointing us to his deity, God himself come to earth for us. And myrrh, connecting the start of his life on earth to the end with his rescuing death to save people from their sins. Well, let's just be quiet for a moment or two, and then I'll share some words we can use as a prayer if we wish to. In the light of who Jesus really is, the final verse of In the Bleak Midwinter gives us something of an appropriate prayer. "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart."